today on Real Radio.
Listen, the Word of God, the Bible doesn't need us to defend it. It can defend itself. I think Spurgeon said, never defend the Word of God. It's like a lion. Open the cage and let it go. Isn't that true? Isn't that a great picture? Listen, the Bible is the eternal Word of God. When it gets loose, you can't stop it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you so much for being with us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel were beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 42 and the first seven verses of Isaiah 43, we learn that God's man for the ages is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, bringing the gift of salvation for all who will receive him. So today on day 3 of Isaiah chapter 43, Pastor Jack tells us that our hearts can backslide at any moment. That's why we're to be quick to listen and to respond to his love. God will allow things to happen in our lives, but only to the point where he intervenes with his mercy. And now continuing his lesson called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a reference to the millennium. When Christ comes back, he restores the wilderness places. To give drink to my people, my chosen. This is not the church. It's Israel. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. See, they've never done that. Church, they've never done that in history. They will do it. Their day's coming. But you have not called upon me. Now he looks back. Isaiah looks back at Israel's present existence in his day. You've not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been aweary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for the burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with a grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. Verse 24, you have bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities. And right then and there, you would say, wow. And at that period, that's God's assessment of the nation to this day. Even though he's brought them back into the land and they're a real country. And the gospel, by the way, is being preached more in Israel right now than it has in thousands of years. It's amazing. Churches, believing churches, fellowships of Jewish fellowships are growing right now. It's amazing. They are still, as a nation, alienated from God. That verse, you read verse 24 and you could just sign right next to it, this is Israel today. Because it is true, but it's not going to stay there. Look what happens, verse 25. And this, by the way, begins to prepare us. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I'll come back to this in a second. And I will not remember your sins. And look at the opening part of verse 26. Put me in remembrance. You know why this is a precious thing and why we did this up front tonight before communion in Isaiah? It was perfect for us tonight. Jesus said regarding communion, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that? Yes. That audience that night in that upper room, remember, those boys were Jewish students of the scriptures. They knew the word. They would have known. He's referring to Israel mentioned in Isaiah 43, remembrance. And in the context of remembering him, listen, the Jewish mind, in context of remembering him, we remember him in light of the context of Isaiah 43. He's the one that takes away our sins. If you ask any Jewish people today, what are you doing about your sins? They don't have a temple to take sacrifices to. They don't accept Jesus as the Lamb of God. They say their good works will erase their sins, but they know that that doesn't fly with Moses in the Old Testament. They've made it up. They're searching. They're hoping and wishing. They have nothing by design, by God, by design. They need to be remembering what you and I take for granted. I will not remember your sins anymore. I'll blot them out. And when you remember me, remember that. Isn't it beautiful? Did you follow that a moment ago? I'm going to do this, God says in verse 25. I'm going to do it. Look at your Bible carefully. I'm going to do it because you're such an amazing, moral, sweet, obedient people. Nope. Thank God he doesn't look at you and say, I'm going to reward you because you're so incredibly faithful to me. Nope. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He says, I'm going to do this. Allow me to ad lib a little bit. You've broken everything I've asked you to do. You leave a mess everywhere you go, and you blame me for it. But I said to Abraham, I was going to save you who believe, and I'm going to do it, even though right now you don't believe. And I'm going to do it because I said it, not because you're so fantastic. I'm going to save you because I said I would. And I love that, because you hear that one way or you hear it the other way. If you hear it one way, it's like, oh gosh, then I guess you're going to save me. You don't love me. I mean, you're going to save me because you made a deal with yourself and you're going to keep it. I guess I just squeak into heaven. Or he's the same one who says, I'm going to do this because I do love you. That's why my son came into this world. And I'm going to do it because I did it and he paid the price and I'm not regretting any of this. God is not regretting it. He's not saying, oh man, this didn't work out the way I planned and now I got jacked forever. It's like getting dealt a bum set of cards, you know? No, not with God. It's good with him. He delights, listen, he delights in saving you. Amen. He delights in that. And he says in the latter end of verse 26, down to verse 28, let us contend together. I love that. Look it up later if you don't believe me. God says, let's fight about it. You want to fight about it? God says, you want to fight? Let's contend. Come on. You know, contend, contender. Can you imagine? God goes, I just said what I said. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to save you. You want to argue about it? God's lacing up his gloves. Okay, so come on, step in the ring. Whoever wins, wins. And here we are like this. Okay, God, come on. I got a lot of questions for you. I got a lot of stuff. I want to ask you something, God. Okay, are you really? Really? And God goes like this. Boom, we go down. God says to us, let's contend. You want to argue? Let's argue. Don't you love him? Is he amazing? You know when you get upset with God? Have you ever been upset with God? Liar. None of you. So this lady over here, she's the only honest one in here. We've all gotten upset with God. You say, well, not me. Yes, you have. Have you ever tried to counsel God on how to do it? That means you're upset with him. That means you're upset with him. And God says, okay, let's talk about it. He's not threatened by that. He's not fragile. You know what? There's people running around this planet trying to defend their God because their God can't defend himself because he doesn't exist. If you've got to defend your God, you might have the wrong God. If you've got to run around and keep propping up your totem pole so you can keep bowing down to it, you got the wrong worship system. If your God can't take a hit, you got the wrong God. Our God never said, I need you to defend me. The Lord doesn't need our defense. Listen, the Word of God, the Bible doesn't need us to defend it. It can defend itself. I think Spurgeon said, never defend the Word of God. It's like a lion. Open the cage and let it go. Isn't that true? Isn't that a great picture? Can you imagine if you were unlocking a lion out of a cage? Would you have a route to escape fast? You would unlock that thing and you'd run like a maniac. And for good reason, a lion is loose. The Bible is the eternal word of God. When it gets loose, you can't stop it. God says, all right, let's contend together. Look at the verse, next verse. The next statement. He says, state your case. All right, you want to fight? Let's fight. I think I hear my mom calling me, God. No. You started this fight, Jack. State your case. Can you imagine? That you may be acquitted, your first father sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. The priest, the religiosity, the religions, they've all failed. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary. I will give Jacob to the curse and Israel to the reproaches. If you come back for Isaiah 44, you'll see that God says, because you won't turn, I'm just gonna cut you loose for a little while until you learn a lesson. It doesn't mean he gave up on them, church. He knows exactly what they need. Listen, tonight, God knows exactly what you need. There are Christians who have walked away from the Lord. They're saved. They're going to heaven. They've walked away from God. They're in rebellion right now. They're backslidden. And they'll suffer that. We've all done that. You know, and you don't have to backslide by going down to Joe's Bar and Grill and whooping it up. You can backslide in your mind. You can backslide in your heart. You can be going to church. You can be serving in church. You can be a pastor. You can be in the choir. You can be whatever. And your all of your physical outward actions speak normal. And inside your heart, your mind can be 1,000 miles from God, right? And what happens is, if you don't listen to him in love, and when he calls out to you, respond to him. You know what he does? He knows exactly. C.S. Lewis called it severe mercy. Did you know God will exercise severe mercy in the believer's life? What is that? That means he will let things happen in your life that will bring you right to the brink, not a moment further. So let's say, for example, I'm dead serious. Let's say God knows that if you break your finger in the car door or in the snow, like I broke mine, never got it fixed. So this is a reminder. Lisa said, don't go down that sled. And I thought, what does she know? And I was going down the snow and I broke my finger and just never got it fixed. It's just broke. I mean, it's ugly, but it's a reminder. Should have listened to my wife. Should wear my ring on this finger, I guess, huh? If it takes you getting a broken finger to listen, then and no further, then God will only allow your finger to be broken. He'll never go any further. If you're walking away from Jesus and you're a believer, you know what he'll allow? He won't cause it, he'll allow it. He'll just step back like that. It's like if somebody hits a line drive, you know, but it's fouled into the stands and everybody's standing up and the guy in front of you ducks. And boom! What happened to you? The guy in front of you, he didn't cause it, he just allowed it. God will do that. Satan hit a line drive and God will just duck. He could have caught it. And you say, God, you could have caught that. I could have, but you didn't ask me to. You told me to mind my own business this morning. Remember, you told me to stay out of your life. So I stayed out of your life and you got a baseball in your mouth. It's the way it is. Listen, it may not be a broken finger. It could be a broken leg. If you don't listen to a broken leg, God will allow the world to give you a punch in the nose or a broken back. God didn't cause it, but your rebellion allowed it to happen. Are you with me? It's very simple. If you've ever parented a kid, you understand exactly how this goes. Sometimes they just got to learn. I told you, stop pulling the whiskers on the cat. And you tell them once, you tell them three times, don't do that. That cat's going to claw you. And then it's like, you don't know nothing. I am 12 months old. What do you know? And then they go do it. And then guess what they'll never do again? They'll never pull the whiskers on a cat. And I told you before that sweet picture of those paintings of Jesus carrying the lamb on his back. We all love the poster. It's so cool. But the story behind it is the lamb's leg was broken by the shepherd because the lamb kept running away from the shepherd. So the shepherds in Israel take the little lamb. You've heard this 1,000 times before. Sets up 2 stones, takes the little lamb that keeps running away, stretches the back leg out over the 2 stones, takes his rod, not his staff, takes his rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they'll comfort me. He takes the, how can you be comforted by discipline? Discipline will save you. He takes his rod, stretches out that little lamb leg, so cute, and he just goes, boom, breaks that bone right in half and leaves it like my finger, doesn't set it, leaves it alone, picks up the lamb, puts him on his shoulders because the lamb can't walk, lamb's all bumped, gotta hurt. And the shepherd goes about his business with the lamb on the back of the shepherd's neck. And he's got to do that for several weeks. And then he lets the lamb down. And the lamb, that from that moment on, the lamb never leaves the shepherd's side. And the herdsmen believe that the lamb, having to spend that entire time, he's fed, he's watered by the shepherd, absolute, immediate proximity to the shepherd. He smells the shepherd's sweat. He smells the shepherd's person, closest to the shepherd's voice. Couldn't get any closer to the shepherd, all because he was injured by his own antics. Are you with me? And the shepherd went and got him. And that wounded lamb will never leave the shepherd's side. And the herdsmen believe that it's because of those 2 or 3 weeks of absolute proximity to the shepherd. And that's exactly how a trial is supposed to be manifested in our lives. You're going through something? Run to the shepherd. Just run to the shepherd. Well, it's not that. I've been running away from God. Then get back to him now before he breaks your leg. Because he loves you. He loves you enough to break your leg. But you know what? Even if you find yourself tonight with a broken leg, and you might be here right now and you're saying, you know what? He's really been dealing with me. Then just get to the nearest proximity of the shepherd. Smell his sweat. Listen to his voice. Feel his heartbeat. You can't get any closer. If you are about ready to lose heart tonight because for whatever reasons, life's been tough, you need to cheer up. If you're not a Christian tonight, you should be scared to death because you don't have such a hope. If you're not a Christian, you should be absolutely terrified because there's a world out there ready to eat you. And all of your arguments as to why you're not a Christian are ridiculous. They are, to you, they make sense, but everyone's laughing at you. If you're not a Christian and you say, well, I'm not a Christian because, and you state your reason, it's absolutely foolish. The only bummer is you can't see it. We see it, your friends see it. Don't live like that anymore. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with intellect. It has to do with submitting to him. So let's pray, and we'll first start by giving you the opportunity that, and just by no means, this is between you and God, but tonight you're a Christian, but you have been wayward, maybe wayward in attitude, wayward in thought, or wayward in action. And between you and the Lord tonight, you need to set it straight. He wants to forgive you for his own namesake. You understand that? That's amazing. He wants you forgiven for his own sake. Don't contend with him anymore. Stop it. Give that thing to him. If God is speaking to you right now and he's saying to you, you know what, you shouldn't be living that way or doing that or flirting with that lifestyle because I'm telling you no. If he's telling you that, obey him. Obey him, Christian. Repent of it and get back into the fold. Or maybe tonight you're religious, maybe, but you're not a follower of Jesus. You might be here tonight and you're trusting, or you might be tuning in right now or listening right now, and you're trusting in your morality, or you're trusting in your performance, or you're trusting in the status, your good name in town. And because everybody approves of you, so you think that God approves of you too, that you're okay because You think you're okay. And you've not yet surrendered the fact that Jesus died for your pride and for your self-reliance. He loves you, but he wants your life. Maybe tonight you're here and you have an angst against God. You're angry at him who you claim not even to believe in. Your life's a contradiction. You want good things, you want blessings, but you would never call them that. You want to have a fruitful life and a meaningful life, but you call it lucky, fortunate, when it's a blessing. I'm asking you tonight to surrender to Jesus too. You can simply tell him tonight, God, I agree, I confess, I'm a sinner. I have said and I've thought, I've done things that are terrible. If not indeed, I've thought, help me, God, that tonight I would confess and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, as the Bible says, that he rose again from the dead, that he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, risen Savior, the very person of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it is all about Yeshua. I just beg of you tonight. I plead with you tonight. Will you consider surrendering to Jesus? You would come tonight and you would say, Lord, I just rededicate my life to you this evening. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for the bread that represents your body and the cup that represents your blood for me. Lord, I want to be one with you. And I want to be one with my brothers and sisters tonight. I want to be of the family of God. And I want to recommit my love to the family of God and to your people, Jesus. Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name as we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our hope is that as you dig deeper into the Word of God, you'll discover that God is with you in your journey every step of the way. Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel, but God really is a very personal God. He really does have a plan for your life. That's why it's our prayer here at Real Radio that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus wants you to put your faith and trust in him. It really is a good position to be in, the best if you ask me. He's the only one that died and rose again so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you're struggling with questions about salvation, well, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has a tab at his website. It's called Know God. It's right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And it's designed to give you a clear understanding of all that God has for you and all that he's done for you. So head on over to our website and click on that tab called Know God. It's an excellent way to get your questions answered and also provide you the information you need to share Jesus Christ with others. It's all there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.